This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, staff, for enabling us to do this work. And I'd like to welcome you all to the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability, Enhancing ICANN's Accountability Workstream 2, Design Team on Human Rights, Meeting 4. I would like to do a short roll call to ensure that everyone is on the call, is in the archives as well. And if there are people on the audio bridge, could you please make yourself known so that you're registered in the archives as well? No, so that means that everyone who is on the Adobe Connect is are the formal participants. Then I got an absentee note from Paul Toomey, and that is all the absentees I have for this call. I'd like to ask if anyone has got a change to their statement of interest they would like to declare. No change to the statements of interest. I think that.
Hi, wait, sorry, Niels. Niels?
Please. Yes.
Hi, Niels, it's Corinne. I think I should perhaps add that in addition to working with Article 19, I am also starting as a PhD student at Oxford, so I've changed my statement of interest and added this.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Corinne, for that update. Now I'd like to ask, now we're finishing off the administrivia, has anyone got amendments to make to the proposed agenda? No amendments to the proposed agenda, so I suggest we continue with the following points on the agenda, and that is the final discussion on the summary on the document. On what was agreed and on human rights.
Anne raised her hand. Niels, Anne raised her hand.
Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne Aikman Scalise for the record. Regarding proposed amendments to the agenda, I don't know if we'll have time for this. I was going to raise it in all other business, but there's been some discussion on the list regarding, you know, what policies or what procedure we're going to use to review the framework of interpretation once we come into it from our standpoint as a Workstream 2 group, and then it goes to the CCWG accountability. And then I've expressed concerns that consistent with ICANN's policies and processes that the whatever we come up with should be vetted through the normal policy processes within ICANN, and I mean, obviously, you can't do a whole PDP on this FOI, but there are processes in existence. I remember being part of the Policy and Implementation Working Group of the GNSO, and GNSO has, for example, both a guidance process and an expedited PDP. And so at what point is this group going to discuss procedure in relation to the Annex 6 provision that says that we will do this in a manner that's consistent with ICANN processes? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. I see Cafu's hand is up.
I think this issue is under any other business. Therefore, I suggest that we don't discuss it now, but I have serious problem with the proposal of ON. Very serious problem. But we will discuss it under any other business. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus, for that suggestion as well. So I indeed propose that we add it to the to any other business. And if we do not get to it, we discuss it a bit further on the list, and then and if we do not manage to resolve it during coming week, we can put it higher on the agenda for next week. I hope that that will work, but I hope we can get to the, discussing that today. So in that case, I'd like to continue to point two, which is the final discussion on the document on the summary of what was agreed and discussed on human rights during work stream one. We did not receive any comments on the document on the list. It has been discussed several times here now, and two times in it, this is the second time in its final form. So we did not receive any comments on the list. I didn't receive any comments in the document. So I was wondering whether people have comments on a document here in the call. I do not see any hands, and I'm not getting any concrete comments on the document. Does this mean that we can go ahead and agree on this document as is? Everyone, if there are no comments, I'd like to see some green tick that people are okay with accepting this document as is.
I don't hear anything. Is it only from my end?
No, Giovanni, it's chat showing. We seem to have lost Neil's audio.
Check for the record. Staff will sort it out, I'm sure. But perhaps, Tatiana, if you could take a note of the green ticks or otherwise, we can continue to move on.
This is Greg. I suggest we also ask if there are any red X's.
Sounds like a perfect plan, Greg. I'd support that. I better take my green tick down, though.
This is Greg. To be clear, a red X would mean that you object to adopting this first discussion document. Number two in the agenda as being final or at least stable in its current term. So if you object, put up a red X. Well, this is Greg for the record. I see no red X's. So I suggest that all the green ticks clear their ticks. See if anybody can raise Neil, since I have no desire to chair this call. This this is Greg again. I don't recall if there is a co-chair for this subgroup. I don't believe so, but Nigel Roberts, and I see that Nigel is not in a building.
Are you on the call, Nigel? It's Cheryl. Brenda, can you let us know what's happening with the connection back to Neil, please?
It looks like Nigel is not with us and that we have lost Neil.
Can the staff confirm that the connection of Niels is really dead?
Well, if it's not the connection that's dead, then I'm really worried.
Okay.
I haven't heard of any major disasters in Australia this morning, so hopefully nothing has broken down our major telecommunications networks anyway. I'm sure staff will do their best to get him back. Who is, in terms of 13 on the Q&A, who was on the sub-team that was looking at the Roggy principles? Perhaps they could manage the next part. I thought, Greg, you actually were.
Oh, this is Greg Schatt, and I did volunteer for what's actually number 4, but we could certainly, whether we go to item 4 or have a discussion of the right.
Cheryl here, Greg. Tatiana's suggesting we go to item 4. That seems like a smart move to me. So unless anyone objects, Greg, go that way. Thanks, mate.
Yes, let's go to item 4, which will probably turn into somewhat of a discussion in Q&A on Ruggie principles anyway, and we can put the FIFA report to one side. So let's open table first for any of the drafting volunteers. I see Niels is back, so I will cede the chair to the chair. And Niels says, go ahead, and I'll pick up in a more seamless fashion. So I open the floor, first to any of the drafting volunteers. I see hands from Ann and Cavus. I'm not sure if those are new hands. Ann?
Yeah, hi, Greg, Cheryl and all. I kind of didn't want to skip over the agenda item that Niels had put up with respect to the general discussion on the Reggie principles. And one aspect of that that I think is quite thorny, as I'm sure I commented on the list. I actually think these Ruggie principles are fantastic in and of themselves. I really like them. I have, you know, worked with other businesses that apply them. And where I get stuck is this. In terms of the ICANN board's responsibilities being clear, the board itself in the ICANN community is just a very, very different type of organism than a top-down corporate entity that has the ability to, has at this point in time wider discretion than ICANN has under the new accountability framework. And I know that Niels, very in a very considerate manner, supplied us with the principles on how to apply these in the nonprofit situation. The truth, of course, regarding nonprofit boards is they also are essentially top-down, and in many cases they are immune by statute to, you know, claims from third parties in terms of their personal immunity. I'm very concerned about how we as a group figure out ways in which that when the board finally takes a decision, that it, in this human rights arena or human rights impact arena, that it is not, that its obligations are very clear and it's not too subject to, too many complaints against board action. I noted that in the revised bylaws, and I'll try to wrap this up, once we do adopt this framework of interpretation, then that will serve as a basis both for requests for reconsideration of board action and also independent review panel action. And so, again, as is my habit, it's more of a procedural concern that once we come up with this and it relies on general principles, general framework of interpretation, how are we going to make it clear for the board what they're supposed to do and not subject the organization as a whole to too many of these requests for reconsideration, independent review panel? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne, for that point. I see a queue is forming. So, Cahoos, please go ahead.
Yeah, please. Thank you very much that you got back. Which point of agenda we are now? I understood that we are discussing number two, and there was no further comment number on number two, and we consider that number two is stable, and now we go to number three. So if we are number three, we have to follow the agenda, general discussion, question and answer on RAGI principles. And I don't understand the last speaker referring to how I can. He is going to implementation. We are not yet there. We are not yet there. We are just talking general discussions on two question and answer on RAGI principles. So can we stick to that, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Cahoos. We're indeed under agenda point three. And I see David McCauley is now in the queue. David, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. It's David McCauley for the record. I would like to make two comments in response to the question that Greg asked in his capacity for as filling in. And they're general comments irrespective of what number of the agenda we're on, and they are what I put on list, basically, and that is with respect to the RAGI principles, it's my opinion, my personal opinion, that there should be an overarching statement that says the RAGI principles, to whatever extent we eventually agree that they may apply, are subsidiary to the bylaw. The second comment I would make is it will do this group good to hear from Paul Toomey, and I recognize that it's in inopportune time that he's not with us, but understanding the difficulty that, you know, that he's going through. But I would simply say Paul is a former CEO, and he spoke in Work Party 4 in Workstream 1 to this, and there's some very complicated issues that will implicate human rights and the RAGI principles, and I think we need to hear from Paul and give him a chance to speak to us. So I think it will sober us up insofar as what just how complex this can be. And then one brief comment in response to Anne's comment. It's my understanding that the applicability of reconsideration request and the IRP is not a given, but is something that will be addressed in the FOI. I won't surprise many in this group, at least those from Workstream 1, when I say that it's my opinion that enforcement is in courts. In there's already vehicles available for enforcement, and that's not ICANN's role. So I think that the issue of applicability of reconsideration request and IRP is a matter that this group needs to talk about with respect to the FOI. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that clear statement, Davey. David? Greg is the next one in the queue. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. In thinking about the RAGI principles and their applicability here, you know, I think Anne has begun to highlight, you know, a couple of the overall issues, which, you know, include the fact that ICANN is not, while on the one hand ICANN is a corporation, it functions in a way that is unique and unlike any other traditional corporation. The very fact that we are here and having this call and that we have the role that we have, or the roles that we have, is ample evidence of that. I question whether, so ICANN is not a state, and I question whether ICANN is a business enterprise. And as such, it's really outside the RUGI principles paradigm. That doesn't mean there's nothing to learn from the RUGI principles. And continuing with our general idea that the RUGI principles are out unless we decide that any of them are in, although the RUGI principles themselves say that they're to be taken as a coherent whole. So in a sense, we're violating the RUGI principles just by, you know, thinking that we can disaggregate them. But I think we need to disaggregate them. You know, there are the reasons that Paul pointed out with regard to the fact that ICANN has to deal with various types of third parties in ways that are very different than a business deals with its supply chain and the like. So that may be a jumping off point, but I tend to be doubtful that it's a landing point. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. I see Kafus is next in the call. Kafus, please come in. That might have been an old hand from Kavus?
No.
Then please come in, Kavus.
Excuse me. If we are dealing with the RUGI principles, the purpose of these principles was twofold. Onefold is addressing the responsibility and obligation of states, and the other is business enterprises. Here, we do not deal with the state responsibilities and obligations, because whatever we put in the bylaw has no impact on the state at all. They do not bind themselves to respect that because they are not part of this convention or bylaw. So you should address issues relating to the business and corporate. However, with respect to the governments or the states, they might have some obligation as far as the registry and registrar in the countries or in the area under their jurisdiction. We could address that, but we could not make any obligation for them. We could invite them, we could request them, we could maximum urge them, but I don't think that anything has any value to put in the ICANN bylaw saying that a state shall do this, a state shall do that. We can write whatever we want, but no one will respect that because they are not part of that. So we try to put it in a more practical way. So I don't think that the part of the RUGI principle addressed for the state, which was under United Nations mandate of the Kofi Annan, would not apply here. We should apply parts which is applicable to the ICANN, business and corporate only. But we could also invite governments or request the government or urge the government to endeavor to do something. But we could not put something that they should do this or they shall do that. I don't think that that is applicable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. Andrew, please come in.
This is Andrew Rath for the record. Thanks very much, Andrew. I'm going to paraphrase some of the things that I sent in a note to the sub-team on this. I think that to Greg's point about the idea of this being not an exact analog, I certainly think that's the case. I mean, just the fact that this is primarily focused on can you hear me? Okay. The fact that this is primarily focused on states and corporate seems to me to be a bit of a myth for the ICANN community, although I do think that there are some real values that we can take out of this. The question really becomes two things in my mind. Number one is the practicalities of it. For example, if there's a reconsideration how, reconsideration for whom, reconsideration over what time frame, and what are the different roles that people would be playing. Also, there's a request in the RUGI documents that I read that talks about reporting. Again, reporting to whom, on what, over what frequency. I think that this is just, I just think from practical, in practical terms, this is going to be a fairly difficult thing to do. The other piece of it that jumped out at me when I read the documents that were circulated was to try to get a little bit more clarity about what exactly we are trying to avoid. And I know in the straw man case, we can say that we definitely want to avoid something that is obviously, you know, when someone mentioned child pornography or something like that. Fair enough. But I think in order for us to be to follow the rookie principles in practical terms, we have to try to understand the harm that we're trying to avoid and then craft a solution that is more limited around that. I agree with the last couple of callers. This is not a perfect analog. There's no way we can just take it and drop it into our work. On the other hand, I think that there are pieces of it that we can port. So I would try to work backwards from a simple, practical solution, if at all possible, informed by the principle. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Andrew. And I see Tijani is next in the queue. Tijani, please come in.
Thank you very much, Neil. Tijani speaking. I went through the radio principles and I loved them. They are wonderful. But they are for states and business enterprises. Since ICANN is neither states nor business enterprise, I don't think we can take them and say we may apply them for ICANN. As Andrew said now, we have to understand what harm we try to avoid. And I think it is very different from what is in the RIGI principles. We may, I think we have to read them, we have to understand them. They are, for the general understanding, it is good. But for ICANN to apply them, are they applicable to ICANN? I don't think so. So I think we don't have to put a lot of time on studying them. This call may be, as it is now, more or less dedicated to the RIGI principles, but we don't have to put more time on them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Tijani. Next in line is Paul McGrady. Paul, please come in.
Hi, Paul McGrady. Thank you. So I guess I sort of feel like we're doing this a bit out of order still, and I know that we've already had some discussion about this, and I apologize, but shouldn't we be doing a baseline review into what human rights obligations ICANN already has under the law that governs ICANN's home, where, you know, California, and then asking ourselves whether or not these seem adequate, and if so, then going out to other sources like RIGI principles and the like. It just sort of seems to me that we are, I would hate for us to spend months and months essentially discussing and negotiating and ending up where we would have been if we had just looked at what law actually applies to ICANN. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Paul. Maybe it helps to shortly clarify that only states are currently party to human rights law, so that if we make a commitment to human rights, as we did in the bylaw, we'll need to formulate on how we will do that. And just going through the applicable in the U.S., which is, of course, needs to reflect the treaties that the U.S. signed up to, is not a direct commitment to human rights, but only by proxy because the U.S. Signed up to specific treaties and by that committed itself to also reflect that in its national laws. But I might risk overstepping my role as a chair here, so I'm quickly returning to the queue and by that to Anne. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne for the record. And I do think one thing that will be interesting is when we receive a reply with respect to the question that Paul just raised, then hopefully that would might be coming soon. I don't know if we have any updates on that, but I'll let the chair address that after I make a quick comment about on this general discussion about RIGI principles. I did want to point out and typed in the chat, when we look at page 19 for the guiding principles document, there's a guiding principle on page 18, or on page 19 in paragraph 18B that I think is extremely important for ICANN. And it says that when assessing the risks of human rights impacts that are adverse, that businesses should establish a process that both draws on internal or independent external human rights expertise, and I think we're kind of in the process of doing that when we look at these principles generally, but also, very important, again, 18B on page 19, involve meaningful consultation with potentially affected groups and other relevant stakeholders as appropriate to the size of the business enterprise and the nature and context of the operation. I am, again, very concerned that we not take an approach that is essentially a top-down approach, and that, again, goes to the procedural discussion which has already been raised about getting input from all of our stakeholders on the FOI. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that comment, Anne. Next in line is Jorge Cancio. Jorge, please come in.
Hello. Good.
I don't hear. Is it me?
No, I unfortunately also only heard the first syllable of Jorge speaking. And it seems like we lost his whole connection. That is sad. So, I see Jorge was back for a second. So I propose when Jorge returns, we put him on the top of the queue. And in the meantime, I'll ask Greg to go ahead. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. A couple of things. First, and maybe this is the most fundamental, I think we need to focus on what a framework of interpretation is intended to do. And I think that some of what we were looking at here, some of the Ruggie principles, for instance, number 18, which is the due diligence, it goes way beyond any framework of interpretation and goes to the issue of implementation. So I don't think, we should be adopting anything that is really proscriptive about implementation, but rather we should be looking at somebody is leafing through things while I'm talking. Rather, I think we should essentially be kind of setting the stage for other groups after ours, many of us may be involved in those other groups, but for other groups after ours to interpret the bylaw and apply the bylaw and implement the bylaw within an understood framework and structure. I think there the first issue is what human rights are we talking about? Before we get to the Ruggie principles, but obviously this all kind of fits in the mix. But a lot of I think the Ruggie principles go beyond the remit of a framework of interpretation. Second, and only very briefly, because it's kind of out of order, I do agree with the point that Paul makes, and I don't think it's an issue of proxy, since ICANN is subject to applicable law. It is directly subject to any laws adopted in the United States or in the state of California, which cover aspects of human rights. So this is not an issue of state accession to human rights conventions. It's an issue of actual laws to which ICANN must abide, and any analysis of what ICANN has to do in the human rights arena doesn't start from an empty page. It starts from those laws. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. That seems clear and straightforward. Cavus in the queue, please.
Previous speaker was straightforward, but we are not currently dealing with applicable law. What is applicable law? We are dealing with the principles. I think the discussion is not very well structured. We are taking various points from various parts. Can we concentrate on one single document? If you take ROG principles, if you take guiding principles, you can go through that one to see which one is applicable and which one is not applicable. Once we dealt with that, then we go to the discussion, what does it mean applicable law? Now we are not there. So I think, Neil, you have to kindly do a little bit of conduct of the work to confine us in area that really on the subject. We are discussing many things at the same time. So which document we're discussing? Are we discussing principle applicable to a state, principle applicable to business and enterprises, which one, and then whether I can, could be as a part of the enterprises or business enterprises or not. So can you kindly guide us in a way that it structured discussion? Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. As far as I know, we're still discussing the RUGI principles, and that is the same document as the UN Guiding Principles for Business and Human Rights, and we're having a general discussion on this. And I see Jorge has returned. So, would you like to come in the top of the queue because you were dropped earlier?
Good evening. Do you hear me okay?
We hear you splendidly now. Thank you.
Hello. This is...
You're dropping again for me, Jorge.
For me too.
I'm very sorry to pass by Jorge again. I hope he can pick this up with staff and get a dial out to ensure that we hear Jorge's point. I see Tatiana is next in the queue. Tatiana, please come in.
Thanks, Niels. Hello, all. Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. I would like to support Greg in his intervention that we have to figure out what this framework is actually about, because some of the issues we are discussing are rather related to implementation and not the framework of interpretation. And I think that to get there, we actually have the summary of what was discussed in the workstream 2, and there is an Annex 12 in the final report of CCWG, which actually lists what we have to discuss and what we have to consider in relation to the human rights by law. This is my first point. So maybe we can actually have a look at it and frame our discussion. This is the first point. Secondly, I do agree with Cavus. I don't think that it's only about the documents we are discussing. It's also on the meta level, because we are discussing so many things at once that even I, who participated in the work stream too, who is very much into this issue, is sometimes getting lost. And, like, seriously, we do have to focus somewhere. We do have to maybe not to limit the discussion, but at least to discuss one issue after another. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tatiana, for that comment. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. Although I almost feel like I shouldn't after what Tatiana said, especially since she was agreeing with me, I will continue with the current discussion on the RUGI principle. And note that another, you know, issue of applicability is that it assumes a state actor with certain roles and assumes a business enterprise with certain roles. There's really no single state actor that fully applies to ICANN as a policy-making body, as an employer and as a vendor and as a someone with vendors. ICANN is, you know, are under the laws of California as an incorporation and domicile and subject to the various local laws and other places where it has its other operations like Istanbul and Geneva and Singapore as well, which each may have their own, you know, human rights overlays to different extents and applied to very different extents. But the basic thrust of my point is that Ruggie assumes a single state actor. I'll be curious to see how the FIFA applicability deals with the role of the state with regard to FIFA, especially given that FIFA has, I believe, some sort of immunity from the state in which it ostensibly sits. Is even perhaps more stateless than ICANN. But on the other hand, FIFA doesn't really have to respond to, you know, global multi-stakeholders, nor do stakeholders have a real role in FIFA, unless you're holding a big, fat, juicy porterhouse steak and you're going to serve it to FIFA leadership with, like, a very large amount of money under it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. I see Tatiana and Anne are in the queue. And Tatiana, if you would like to go ahead and suggest a concrete point of discussion on how we could compartmentalize the Ruggie discussion, because several points have been brought up, that would be great. Tatiana, please come on.
Thanks, Tatiana Tropiani speaking for the record. I think I will drop my general comments about Ruggie principles because I can always fit them into particular principles. But I think that the suggestion from Jorge to discuss them one by one would be a very good idea. So, I mean, like, of course, those which are applicable to the states, we can agree, like, when we will consider them or maybe we'll remove them. But just go one by one or at least chapter by chapter. Thanks.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. And after Anne's point, I'd like to see if we could round up a general discussion and then go into the document and see where we are and see whether we can have a bit more of a point-to-point discussion on the Ruggie principles. Or at least conclude, as Cahoos already did before, that the state principles do not apply, and then could see which one of the early principles for corporate actors would or could apply. So, but before we go over to that, Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne. I had simply volunteered to read Jorge's comment into the record, and what he wanted to say was, number one, we still are waiting for the assessment of the meaning of the HR commitment being a quote-unquote core value. So I don't know when we'll get that, and this is my own comment, but maybe we have some information available through the chair on when we might get responses from ICANN Legal or if we could follow up with them. And then his second comment, last week we agreed to look into the Ruggie principles one by one. Please let us do so without making absolute claims as to their relevance. And then just adding my own comment to what Jorge has said, I agree with some earlier commenters that it's more productive to go one by one through the items that apply to businesses rather than states. And so I think, you know, Greg's suggestion is constructive in that if we began that one by one discussion with principle number 11, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. I'd like to continue, but I see Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, please come in.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Kapus.
Okay. I think we are converging that we start principle by principle. If you go to the Rogi document or document you have provided, under the general principles, you have three main titles: states, role of the business, enterprises, and need for rights and obligations to be matched. If you take this one by one, I think we are in a good way. We're talking about these. If you agree with that, I could comment on paragraph A. As I mentioned before, we could refer to the responsibility and obligation of the states, but in a sort of the invitation and request to them. And nothing is wrong if in the framework of interpretation, whatever principles Raghi put for the state as obligation and responsibility, we refer to them, but the only thing we have to do, we have to replace the must and should by invited or requested and retain those principles. They are valid and nothing is wrong if we invite or urge or request the states to observe this principle. That is on A. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Kahus. Before we now head into the specific document, I can tell you that we do not have a response yet from ICANN Legal, because ICANN Legal, I understand, are very busy with the upcoming ICANN transition hearing in the U.S. So it's probably next week that we will get an answer from ICANN Legal. So, as been proposed by both Greg and Kahus, while we're looking at the Raghi principles, we will most likely jump over principles 1 to 10, since they are applicable to state, and I think we can all agree ICANN is not a state. So you might have a look at the Raghi principles starting at principle 11. I see Greg's hand is up. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. Let me clarify my point a bit. I do agree that ICANN is not a state, nor is it in any way appropriate to apply the state role to ICANN. However, the way I read the Raghi principles, the Raghi principles as a whole depend on the role of the state being played as well as the role of the business enterprise being played in order to essentially actualize human rights obligations at the business enterprise level. So while it may make sense to start with number 11, I think we need to consider whether an ICANN, which in a sense, has a very unique relationship to a state or many states, whether that works. In the traditional sense, you have a corporation that's domiciled in a place and it has a state in which it is a corporate citizen and that is very much, governed by that state. ICANN has that in certain ways, but really shouldn't be viewed in having it in other ways, and so therefore the kind of the balance between the state and the business enterprise that's, I think, assumed in the Raghi principles evaporates in many aspects of ICANN operations, especially those involving the community. Thank you.
Thanks for the comment, Greg. I see Kahus is next in line. Kahus, please come in.
Yes, I think we are once again converging, starting from principle 11. And the only thing is that I have a question in all of these principles from 11. They referred with the term that business enterprises should do this, and business enterprises should do that. Risk of having problem with some people that I don't want to name, that they always problematically talk about should and need and shall. I think that if you want to do something, should is a very weak term. We have to select another term that satisfy the situation. Having said that, I don't think that there will be any problem if you will start one by one on number 11. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kapoor. Greg, is your hand still up or is that an old hand? Tijani, please come in.
Thank you, Neil. Tijani speaking. I confess I didn't understand the last Greg intervention. Spoke about the relationship with the U.S. government because ICANN is incorporated in California, etc. But we are trying to put a framework of interpretation of human rights for ICANN. And ICANN, yes, it is incorporated in the U.S., but it is not working. We cannot put any commitment or any respect for human rights regarding the state of the U.S. because ICANN is incorporated in the U.S. So I didn't understand really what he means by that.
Thank you very much, Tijani. We could ask Greg if he could elaborate. Greg?
Sure. My overall point is that I think that this is a fit issue between ICANN and the Ruggie principles, and that the Ruggie principles typically assume that you have a corporation that is governed by a state, and perhaps it's governed by other states in other places where it might have offices, but that in each case it is always governed by a state. And while ICANN is certainly not above the law or outside the law in any way, its functioning is in a way orthogonal to states in terms of the multi-stakeholder model and the policy development model. And a certain aspect of what ICANN does or how ICANN works are so different from how a corporation works within a state in which it is domiciled or has operations that the balance in the Ruggie principles between the role of the state and the role of the enterprise in having in accomplishing a human rights implementation are lost. And basically for this reason, it's another reason why I'm concerned that the Ruggie principles are a bad fit for ICANN. My only side note, maybe this is what confused Tijani and maybe other people too, is that to the extent ICANN is a normal corporation that hires people and buys toilet paper and you know, travel services and whatever else it might do, that you know, there it is a traditional corporation and probably more traditionally you know, has to deal both with applicable law and if it were to you know, assume a responsibility to respect human rights, would have more traditional business enterprise concerns. But I'm going to bet that this group here is probably least concerned with those areas where ICANN is a traditional corporation, if we're concerned about it at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Kapoos, please come in.
I am not sure that we should subordinate ICANN duty, responsibility, and obligation to respect human rights to a particular government. Here, as somebody said, U.S. ICANN has its own responsibility without any connection with any government. the Ruggie principles make a distinction between the two parts. One part is state, the other is business enterprises. And they are not liaised with each other. It would be very difficult if we try to subordinate that to particular government and so on and so forth. And then there would be difficult to put any responsibility to ICANN saying that, yes, I'm under the government of U.S., so whatever I do is under that, and then we don't know whom we have to deal with. Do we have to deal with a particular government to call that government into the court? But we cannot do that at all. So I don't think that what people said is right, that corporate, because it employs the people or make travel and so on and so forth, is under a specific law and the respect of human rights. It depends on the will and responsibility of that state. If that state fully respects, then the ICANN does not need to do anything. If that may not respect, I don't know, ICANN, according to the people, can do anything at all, because he says that under that state I'm working. So I don't think that we could not liaise these two together. Let us discuss the responsibility and obligations of ICANN if it is a business enterprise under the section 11 onward with the Ruggie principle, but not get these two parts linked or liaised together. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Kapoos. And I see we are already nearing the hour. Well, I think we're closely approaching the whole hour, and I think we can make some conclusions on things we've learned this week. Namely, we've jointly concluded ICANN is not a state, so that the Ruggie principles 1 to 10 would not be applicable to ICANN. We've also concluded that ICANN might not be the clear-cut organizations to apply the Ruggie principles to. So we will need to continue to go ahead with a careful analysis of the relevant principles without going too deep into implementation land, because it is clearly told to us as mandated by the city should come up with a framework of interpretation of the bylaw and not come up with an implementation plan. So with that in mind, I hope that we can go ahead with the drafting team and the whole subgroup to analyze the specific parts of the relevant Ruggie principles to see if we can get relevant wording from there, which we can inject back then later on upon agreement into our framework of interpretation draft document. I hope this is a constructive way forward, and I also hope that this is a job that the volunteering drafting team would take on themselves. That drafting team was comprised of Andrew Mack, Tatjana Tropina, Greg Shaten, Bastian Voslings, and David McCauley. But if other people would like to join this work, I think that work will go on at the same hyperlink. I think our discussion gets more constructive when we get more concrete. So I'll discuss with the volunteer drafting team whether we can focus on some specific principles and get some specific text out there so that we can discuss that to further delineate our issues. I'm very sorry that we did not get to discuss the point of Anne, but Anne, would you perhaps like to bring it up on the list, and then we can discuss it there.
Sure. I would like to get it on the agenda, though, for our next call, if you please.
Sure. But do you think we could first discuss it on the list?
Yeah, I had actually written about it on the list last Friday, but it didn't engender any further discussion, and I do think it merits discussion, especially in light of RUGI Principle 18D, and I would ask that you put it on the agenda.
Okay, I can put it on the agenda, but I would like to reiterate that we have by no means...
Excuse me, Neil. I don't agree that you put it in the agenda.
Sorry?
I totally disagree with that. We don't want that it go to the PDP. Let's discuss it on the mailing list first. I have serious problem to put this into the PDP. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I know this is a late comment, but the thing is there are issues around what contracted parties can be obligated to do if no PDP is involved. In other words, you cannot adopt a contractual provision in relation to a framework for human rights without adopting
PDP.
Consensus policy.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Framework of interpretation is not PDP. Please do not fall into another trap. We don't agree with that.
Kapus, I'd like to call to order, please. I'd like to close down the call because we're at the top of the hour, and I'd like to ask to first have the discussion on the list to see if we have sufficient traction to discuss this on the call, because I see this is a heated debate between Kafoos and Anne, and let's see if there is sufficient interest so we can make this a working point on the agenda. So on that note, I'd like to close the call and wish you all a great week and looking forward to work with you on the list and on the document. Bye all.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.